Gamescom is this week, and it's big. Both the industry and consumers are loving it. Plus, another union forms at Blizzard, providing stability in today's uncertain job market. Tonight is August 17th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Pre-Gamescom hogwash. That's what we've got going on tonight. That's right. Gamescom is this week. We'll talk about that a little bit. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a pre-Gamescom, I guess, edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us here live here on this Sunday night, where it's just me. Tonight, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read some intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But this is a podcast, and I know this was a big training week at my new job, my new day job this week, so I wasn't able to get the episode up from last week. That's probably going to be doing tonight. While we're not having another show on tonight, but this is a podcast, and so I apologize for not getting the podcast out from last week, and this one should be out pretty soon. Hopefully, well, you're hearing it's out, but you can join us on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, if you want to keep up with us during the week. And also, you'll be able to get news that I can't share with you yet tonight because it's a day too early. And because we do tape the show live, I can't go ahead and record this part. I probably could, like, record it and put it on the podcast. But I wouldn't be able to say it here live. So you would have to be in our Discord server to get that information or following me on Blue Sky because, as SSJ100 Matt in our chat room says, Dragon Con season approaches. And that is true. In 2 weeks, we're only like, they keep counting down. I think we're 10 days away now because it really starts really early. It is Dragon Con. It's here in Atlanta. It is a big pop culture convention. There's going to be about 80,000 people, 85,000 people. And I can say that because that's the attendance cap. And it'll get very close to that number. But they do have an attendance cap. They have not upped it from last year. And it's going to be a great time. There's a lot of stuff going on at Dragon Con. It is not like a typical convention. It's not like a corporate run convention. If you've been to something that's like, you know, branded Comic Con or even San Diego Comic Con, for that matter, it is kind of its own thing. And it is very difficult to describe what it is. It is something different for everybody. It is also something different every time you go. Now, I will be there along with Rob from Orange Lounge Radio, who is getting back from a nice weekend away. So he won't be in time for OLR tonight. But we are going to be working with the digital media track. We're going to be working with the video gaming track as well as main programming. And that is why we can't tell you what we're doing yet. If we were not working with main programming, we would actually be able to tell you what we're going to be doing. But because we're working with main programming at Dragon Con, we are very fortunate to be working under Tony Gowell, who is the director of events there, and being able to work with some of the actual celebrities that are going to be at Dragon Con. They have asked that we not reveal until the schedule in the app gets updated, which will be tomorrow. However, I do want to share, because if you're not going to Dragon Con, you obviously don't have the app. What they do in the app, and this is one of my favorite things, is they go ahead and preload it. And they preload it with dummy panels that I'm like, I would go to this panel. It's like, I want to pitch this panel. I wanted to show, to talk about some of these, which is why I'm trying to, like, pull it up on here. So in the app, Let's see. They've always brought, had a workshop in the app for Dragon Con saying, and these are all made up panels. This is going to be replaced with the real schedule tomorrow. Build your own thermonuclear warhead. Extra materials fees apply. And they, you can actually even go into the description and read stuff. That's on Wednesday night. Thursday night, they do have Squidward game. Not Squid game. Let's see. On Friday, we have the Fast and Furious Food Fighters. That's going on, apparently. They've got Smash or Pass Cyberpunk Edition. We don't want to know really what that is. Hey, Gen Z, leave me and my side part alone. A guide to Gen Z lingo. That's in there. And then, see here. One of these is, I owe my soul to Tom Nook, late stage capitalism and Animal Crossing. That's going on in through one of the ballrooms there. Lawn ornament costume contest. You can find that. Paper spaceships and their uses. Okay. Night of the Living Aquarium is one of these. Of Mice and Multiverses, a celebration of nerdy raps who deserve respect. I would do that. So I'm not reading all these, but it's kind of funny. It's the final panel on Monday. It is Go the to Sleep, Effects of Sleep Deprivation. There's a panel about that. And apparently that is, according to the app, that is, I believe, part of the science track. I thought it was from the Star Wars track because it's the Samuel L. Jackson audiobook. Anyway, and that's coming out. But tomorrow, Monday, we tape this on Sunday night. Monday is when the actual real schedule will start getting loaded in. And then I can finally talk about all of the things that I am doing. Now, what I can tell you right now is that Rob and I are going to be part of the Digital Media Track Mixer on Thursday night, which is technically the first day of the 5-day convention. We're going to be getting there Wednesday. Rob flies in Wednesday. I drive down Wednesday and I start partying and getting really nervous about the stuff I'm doing on Wednesday. But Thursday night at, I'm going to say 7 p.m., down in the Digital Media Track rooms, that is where we're doing kind of a content creator mixer. So it's a meet and greet. It's not a panel. It's an event that we are hosting. And that is where you can meet us. You can meet other content creators. If you want to get into doing podcasts or streaming on Twitch or doing TikTok or going on YouTube or whatever other streaming you want to do or other content creation, Instagram, blogs, Facebook, I don't know. You can find somebody there and you can be able to connect with other people before everything happens. And then we can we'll be able to hang out then and stuff. So Mike Def says, imagine if there are actual rejected panels. Yes. And I probably might have already read that, but it was a good comment. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be able to meet a lot of interesting people and some of them I will be able to tell you about tomorrow. Look out on my Blue Sky feed on Discord, or if you are going to Dragon Con, the 18th is when they've said that they're going to start loading the app. And that is something that Dragon Con has said publicly, so it's not like I'm saying any insider knowledge on that. It is about 10 days before the show, and the schedule is never final until the show is over. So things may happen, and just because I tell you I'm going to be somewhere and doing some panel does not mean it's actually going to happen at that time, at that location, with those people. That is just the nature of a convention. In fact, I actually don't know what my schedule is right now. I know what my schedule was about a week ago, but apparently they're also moving to a new thing to keep us in the loop that are part of main programming, and so they're not updating that old version anymore, and we're going to get the new version tomorrow. So I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you with certainty what I am scheduled for right this moment, because I just don't know. But Dragon Con here in Atlanta, memberships are still available, although some of the 1 days are going very, very fast. Go to dragoncon.org if you are here in the Atlanta area. All the hotels are sold out, unfortunately, down here, so good luck on that, because there's also college football opening weekend going on at the same time. So it's that same weekend. It's always fun. But it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing Rob again and seeing what we can get into. We will be busy for sure. I will also be able to tell you that pretty much it's locked in stone, but I have been asked, and I thought Dragon Con was actually going to promote this earlier this week because I actually had to make materials for it. So it's pretty much set in stone. But I will say that I am doing yet another speedrun showcase at Dragon Con with Twitch partner and Eternal Enigma. We are doing Silent Hill for the Room. It is right now, Saturday night, part of the video gaming track. Other than that, I do know what time, I do know what room, I do know all that stuff, but I am not going to mention exactly when and where until the schedule comes out. And so we have been doing this at another convention here in Atlanta, the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. We have a 2.5 hour block, essentially, to run Silent Hill 4. So I will probably be also speedrunning something at the very end. And it is something we have done before. You can actually find it on our YouTube channel, this exact same panel. We did it a couple years ago. Now we are a couple years wiser. And both Enigma and I have done more things in the convention space. So it's going to probably go a little bit smoother than it did then a couple years ago when we did it. So I'm looking forward to that. So let's go ahead and get into some of the news that happened this week, because not everything is going to be... This is kind of a slow news week because we're about to hit a lot of busy stuff because of Gamescom. And we're not going to talk about Gamescom yet. We're going to talk about a good news that's happening in the job market world for video games, and that's over at Blizzard. IGN reports that Blizzard's story and franchise development team has voted in favor of unionization with the Communications Workers of America, according to a press release. SFD consists of Blizzard's workers working on in-house cinematics, animation, trailers, promotional videos, in-game cutscenes, and other narrative content across Blizzard franchises, in addition to archival workers and historians. These workers join thousands of others at Microsoft and specifically within Activision Blizzard, who have voted to unionize with their departments and teams under Microsoft's labor neutrality agreement in the last few years. Just last year, the entire World of Warcraft team unionized, and the Overwatch developers followed just this past May. Other unions within the company include Raven Software workers, who just won their first contract earlier this month, ZeniMax QA workers, who got a contract in May, the Bethesda Union, and several others. So organizing committee member and principal editor Bucky Fisk says, quote, "After more than a decade working at Blizzard, I've seen all the highs and lows. For years, Blizzard has been a place where people could build their careers and stay for decades, but that stability's been fading. With the union, we're able to preserve what makes this place special, secure real transparency in how decisions are made, and make sure policies are applied fairly to everyone," unquote. So what was going on is when you have a new owner, and that new owner is Microsoft, and they do have a labor neutrality agreement, you take advantage of it. Because just because you do a good job doesn't mean you get to keep your job right now in this industry. It is a very volatile industry, and even people who've worked there for decades probably could be sent packing and having to find another job and entering the job market for the first time in 20 years, which is pretty scary, actually. And things, they obviously love the work that they're doing. They love working on World of Warcraft, working on Overwatch, working on all of these Blizzard properties, and they want to continue doing it, and they want to be good stewards of it. And this helps them be that. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're being treated poorly right now, but there is a chance they could be, and they want to get out in front of it and make sure that they're not being treated poorly in the future. S. Jaron Amat says that we're slowly getting to the point where the whole industry is unionized. Honestly, it's about time and seriously needed now. And it's especially when now, you know, there are technologies coming for our jobs. If you ask Microsoft, there was and I believe it was Microsoft. It was somebody on Microsoft Copilot team that's doing the AI. They talked about some of the jobs most likely to be eliminated with AI, and historians was one of them. It was like number 4 on the list. And these are people that work on history of World of Warcraft, all the lore in World of Warcraft, all the things that happen in World of Warcraft, and in Overwatch, because and because it's also player driven in that sense. And even Microsoft, their parent company, says that their job is most likely at risk for being eliminated by Microsoft's own AI. So having a union that protects them is crucial. Now, will it save them forever? No. But it makes it a little bit more difficult for Microsoft to go through the motions of eliminating those positions. Tireclaw says, in getting better pay, also, these jobs are very demanding. And one thing to note about a lot of these, the unions that are out there, because when we hear about unions that are not in the gaming industry, and let's put this aside, but you think of, like, actors' unions, you know, SAG-AFTRA, they're not necessarily fighting for the people that you think are millionaires. They are actually fighting for the low end, the minimum wage workers that are, and when I say minimum wage, I don't mean federal minimum wage or state minimum wage, but I mean like the people that make the least money for that position. That's really a lot of what the negotiations are about. It's not for the people at the top. It's not for the people that you've heard of. And in this case, they're not necessarily fighting for the executives at Blizzard or the person who runs the department or maybe the person that you see at BlizzCon, the people that you see. It's for the team of hundreds that are behind them, the team of hundreds that are actually doing the work, that are actually producing. That's what a lot of these unions are fighting for when they do make public displays like this, when they do strike and, you know, talk a lot about their contract. You do hear about that. You know, also with sports unions, a lot of people think it's about the athletes that make hundreds of millions of dollars a year just to play a kid's game. No, they're actually fighting for the up and comers that, you know, they literally maybe only make $45,000 a year, yet they play in the same system as those who make $100 million. And SJR Nomad all says the union also negotiates mass layoffs and tries to get folks who are let go the best severance package as possible within reason. And, you know, and that's also a point because, like, yes, jobs do go away. Jobs do get eliminated. And a union doesn't protect you from losing your job. The union protects you from being treated badly while losing your job. This is a good thing. I am glad that more and more of these are happening around the industry. I think we need it at this point. I understand that, you know, you're going to hear a lot. As a consumer, you're going to hear probably things like, well, now your games are going to be more expensive because they unionized. And you're going to hear that a lot. And don't listen to that because it's not. They're not. That's not how it works. But it sounds like that's how it works. And so you're going to believe it. And you're going to be like, oh, well, the only reason games are trying to be $80 now is because the people that developing them unionized. No. It's not. That's they will use that as the excuse, but they're like, well, that's a nice convenient excuse for the real reason, and it's that we want to make more money. And this is, as Sharon Matt says, this is union busting tactics, make the union to be the bad guy when they're not. And I'm not going to say that every union has done good things all the time. I'm not going to say that at all. But the workers have more power when there is a collective, which scares the people who employ those workers, which is why they do try to do that union stuff. I have never been part of a union. Nothing I have ever done has... The only thing I've ever done that has had a union was when I was a semi-professional musician. Unfortunately, I do say was because I worked events, and the group I was with, obviously, there were no events to do in 2020. And by the time events returned, everybody else I was doing was were like, you know what? We don't miss doing those events. We're good. And so it just kind of faded away. So I haven't done that since. But I could have joined the musicians union, the local musicians union, which would have given me opportunities to perform with, like, dear friends, the Final Fantasy concert when it came in, or Video Games Live, or any of these other video game themed concerts, because they hire local musicians at union scale. The problem is you can't do those unless you're union, and once you join the musicians union, you actually can't do non-union gigs, which meant I would have no longer had the stuff that I was doing, that I was already doing. I couldn't do it anymore because they weren't paying union wages. That's not the union's fault. It's just, you know, the union does charge more than what we were charging, and it was beer money for us. But it was, and to the union's credit, we were probably taking jobs away from people who were in the union that could have done those gigs. But the companies just would have not had it at all. They just would not have had a musician for their event at all if they had to pay union wages for that stuff, which is why I never joined it. But that's the only time I could have joined a union. I've been in the tech industry for 25 years. No union. Never a union on any of that yet. Maybe one day. I'm not in games, so we're not unionizing as quickly. But you never know. So, yeah, Nestor Internet says, yeah. I'm like, hey, you know, maybe it'll happen one day. I don't know. Congrats to them. Love to hear that there's more unions protecting the workers, because that's the side I'm on. I gaming is great. Video games are great. And even right now, the video games we're getting right now are great. The video game industry is not so great right now, and it makes it really hard to celebrate how great video games are when I know that the people making them, it's a very stressful industry. I think there's a saying about the game industry is either you're in it for 5 years or you're in it for life. Either you are chewed up, spit out, and you leave the industry after 5 years, or you're never doing anything else but the gaming industry. That's been a thing that I've heard for many years. However, that's changing a little bit, just because people who have 20 years of experience in the gaming industry, and then they get laid off, and there are no other jobs for them in the gaming industry, that's when they finally leave and go write business software. And it's hard for them to get into that area because it's a lot different. It's very different. I'm not going to say it's easier, but it's just different. You worry about different things when you're writing business software versus when you're writing a video game. Esther Matt says, folks I know who are in the game industry are all out. Thankfully, they're doing well, but many folks aren't. Because there is some transferable skills. Let's say you do software. There are transferable skills from writing a game in Unreal Engine to writing business software, on a .NET platform. There are some things that are transferable and some things that aren't. And there are things that you could easily go into a mindset of, well, I've had to worry about the garbage collector, and I've had to worry about optimizing for RAM, and I've had to worry about, you know, these complicated, calculations that were done in real time and how to optimize those calls. And you go into the business world, and there's completely different things that you have to worry about bulkification is one thing that a lot of people, I'm sure, that work in games aren't used to, is how do I write something like this that works at scale? Because when you're writing a video game, you're worried about that one video game. You're worried about that one player and all the stuff going on there. But if you're writing business software that maybe has a payment processor in it, how do you handle, and it's on the web, how do you handle thousands of people trying to buy something at once? You don't learn that in video game school. Meanwhile, if you've been in the business world for 25 years, no, you're not going to be good at, you know, even though you've built all those things at scale, running all these complex calculations on a computer for one person, it's a different thing. But the ones who have been making it, and the ones who are still currently here in the industry, they're having their big celebration, and it's not here in the U.S. It is this week. It is Gamescom. And it's going to be big. Video Games Chronicle reports that this year's Gamescom event will feature more than 1,500 exhibitors For the first time in its history, the show organizer said. The show, which takes place in Cologne, Germany on August 20th through 24th, so Wednesday, starts Wednesday, will feature more than 1,500 exhibitors from 72 countries, breaking a new record. The event will take up a total of 233,000 square meters of floor space at the Kulmanes venue, another new record for Gamescom, and 3,000 more than the previous record. So they had 230,000, now they got 233,000. The Keeleyverse is going to be expanded. Opening Night Live will now take place in the venue's Hall 1 for the very first time, offering its largest stage to date with 5,000 seats and a highly modern technical infrastructure. President and CEO of Kulmanes, Gerald Bose, applauded the figures in a statement saying Gamescom, quote, impressively underlines its economic relevance and international radiance, unquote. So he also continued, quote, we are investing in a targeted fashion in expansion, infrastructure, and continuing development in order to further reinforce the economic success of our exhibitors. The growth to 233,000 square meters of area and the record registration numbers confirm the sustained success of the hybrid event concept. Together, we can already look forward to an unprecedented variety, unquote. The German Games Industry Association Managing Director Felix Falk added, quote, whether in the community or in the international games industry, the anticipation for Gamescom 2025 is immense. And for a good reason, because the Gamescom week has never had so many highlights. The Gamescom Opening Night Live, the biggest indie area to date, concerts, esports competitions, cosplay, and a great variety of exhibitors for the first time, more than 1,500. It's already clear now the Gamescom year 2025 will be unforgettable, unquote. Last month, Gamescom organizers claimed record high interest from the game companies in attending this year's event, with exhibitor numbers up 11% year on year. The exhibitors list includes companies such as Nintendo, Xbox, 2K, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, Blizzard, Capcom, CD Projekt Red, Krafton, Level Infinite, The Pokemon Company, different from Nintendo, Ubisoft, Electronic Arts, Konami, Lego, Level Infinite, Marvelous Europe, Netflix, Paramount, Sega, and Tencent Games. No Sony, by the way. You don't see Sony in that, do you? I didn't. This year's Gamescom Opening Night Live will once again be hosted by Jeff Keighley on Tuesday, August 19th. No, we are not co-streaming it. The full partner confirmed for this year was this show was Activision, which will be presenting the worldwide reveal of Call of Duty Black Ops 7. So that is Tuesday, so 2 days from now, 2 p.m. Eastern is when it is, 11 a.m. Pacific. So 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. There is a pre-show for 30 minutes before then, but so at 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific. Unfortunately, I have to work. I am no longer fun employed, so I can no longer be part of this. And, yeah, so watch it yourself, and we'll react to it next week. Games confirmed so far for Opening Night Live, by the way, if you want to tune in. I'm seeing a lot of numbers in here and a lot of titles I recognize, which means these are sequels or remakes or something like that. So Call of Duty Black Ops 7, Resident Evil Requiem, Ghost of Yotei, which I guess is a Sony, so maybe Sony is there. They just weren't listed in the article. Ninja Gaiden 4, The Outer Worlds 2, Silent Hill F, World of Warcraft Midnight, Black Myth Wukong, either a Xbox port or DLC on that one, and Lords of the Fallen 2. And obviously, the other thing that you're probably going to see on Opening Night Live, for those of you who care at this point, because it's going to be playable on the show floor. Yes, Hollow Knight Silk Song. You'll see something. It's playable on the show floor, apparently. And Questbuster says, impressively wild to see how massive it's become. Gamescom also has satellite cons in Asia, which has more of a focus on mobile games and Brazil. And here's the thing, is that with a lot of the international game dev community not wanting to travel to the United States right now, that means that instead of budgeting to come to Game Developers Conference or PAX or something here in the U.S., instead of dealing with that right now, because getting a visa and, you know, doing work here, it's not as straightforward of a process. Not saying that they wouldn't get approved and wouldn't be able to be there. It's just not as straightforward of a process that going to Germany is a lot more appealing for their to be able to get the visa to get into the European Union if they're not already in the EU. But also it's a friendlier environment for international visitors right now. So the other thing that was interesting was the convention center saying that this was, you know, driving their expansion and this is their big thing. And that was the Los Angeles Convention Center. The biggest thing the Los Angeles Convention Center had was E3. And so a lot of the expansions and a lot of the things that they had done at the Los Angeles Convention Center was because of and for E3. Now, other conventions obviously got to benefit from the same things, but E3 was the driver for the expansion of the Los Angeles Convention Center. That's why E3 was in Atlanta when I started going. It was in Atlanta for 1997 and 1998. That's because E3 started in 1995, and it grew so big it was outgrowing the Los Angeles Convention Center. So they said, hey, we will expand. And, you know, it's going to take us 2 years, so go find, you know, go be somewhere else for a bit. And then come back. And that's exactly what they did. And this could have been E3, because what Gamescom has done, if you listen to that closely, is that Gamescom did open up to consumers, and they actually, and they've said for a long time, there is an industry part where the business gets done, and then there's the consumer part, your cosplay, your esports tournament. E3 didn't have any of that because they were a business conference. It was a trade show, and people would go to E3. They'd finally get their dream of going to E3 after going to a PAX and being like, why is everything shutting down at 5 o'clock? Where is the 24-hour LAN center? Where is this? Like, why am I going home? Why am I going back to my hotel and doing nothing? And it's because E3 was not for consumers. Gamescom, they said, this part is for the press. It's for the business. It's for the industry. It is the old E3. And this part is for the consumers. And a lot of times, that's when the press gets the hell out of there, which I felt E3 should have done. But they were very much hanging on to the trade show concept. What they did do is instead of doing that, they just invited the consumers into the trade show portion, didn't have anything for just the industry. And everybody mixed and mingled and all the cosplayers were around, and it made it so hard for people to get work done that people stopped going to E3 and companies stopped going to E3. This is what E3 should have done, and kudos to the people running Gamescom. Kudos to all of them in Germany for doing this, because frankly, now people probably should say, my goal is to one day go to Gamescom. Just like 15 years ago, everybody's like, my goal, my dream is to go to E3. Now it should be Gamescom. Questbusters also said Gamescom never canceled. When COVID happened, they just moved everything online before returning to mixed online in-person events in 2022. But they're still strongly doing the online portion even now. And I think they've learned. There was another thing that I was reading, I believe, about Gamescom from them saying, you know what, we know that a lot of our exhibitors, they speak to people online. They do the Nintendo Directs and stuff. So they don't need a venue like E3. So Gamescom has shifted their thinking and tried to insert them where it makes sense in this new landscape of all of the online stuff. And that is, I think, where the consumer stuff comes in, because, you know, this is the place where the consumers can try things. And when you know the consumer is going to try this demo, you build it differently than when it's an industry trade show, because industry trade show demos, you can break them. And nowadays, if a trade show, if a demo at a convention or a trade show breaks, you're dead. Because it's all over the internet. Everybody's posted it. Everybody's pontificating. You're getting 30-minute YouTube videos describing the 1-minute TikTok clip of the demo crashing and about why the developers are lazy and all that stuff, which it's a work in progress. And but people don't understand work in progress as much as people in the industry did. So that's why E3 demos, they didn't want the public playing the E3 demos. But at Gamescom, they know that's the way it is. And so that's what they do. So maybe one day I will go to a Gamescom. Maybe one day I will go. Maybe I'll actually get to go as an influencer or some, or content creator, because, like, you know, I'm not press anymore. They don't consider this press, whatever I do here. This is influencer, and I think every influencer wants to get in. So we are going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to open up the green room and take some calls if you want to call in about something going on in the gaming industry. I know I didn't talk about a lot of other stuff because there is no Orange Lunch Radio tonight, so I don't have anybody else to talk to. Rob is traveling back from doing some stuff. He was taking a weekend away, and he wasn't going to get back in time for tonight. But we would, maybe we'll talk to some of you, or you can bring up something in chat that we can talk about games that you're playing, games that you're looking forward to, we'll just have a nice little chat after the music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show. You're in the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
This is Commodore Lawson of the LTE Bridge, and you're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Dragon Con's coming up. And, Commodore Lawson's going to be there with the LTE Bridge once again. LTEBridge.com. If you are going to be at Dragon Con, you can take place on the Artemis Spaceship Simulator as well as, I am, unfortunately, because I'm doing this all from memory, I don't remember the name of the other program, but it's like Artemis's competitor a little bit. And they're also running a bridge. And I actually got to meet them last year. And it was actually also the developer of the program that was making that bridge. So they're working together. And yeah, so you can go to LTEBridge.com. You can go ahead and purchase that now if you are going to be at Dragon Con. It is an extra charge, but there's like multiple bridges. You could either have, and if you don't know what Artemis is, let me explain what Artemis is. Artemis is a LARPing video game, basically, live-action role-playing video game, where you're basically cosplaying, you're basically LARPing Star Trek. That is the quickest way to say it. Star Trek Bridge Crew is the same concept as Artemis. It's just that was Ubisoft's AAA take on the open source, not really open source, but indie Artemis thing going on. So essentially, you are in a room. They pick a small hotel meeting room. Bigger than a hotel room, but it's one of the meeting rooms. And you will have like maybe six people on the bridge, and everybody has a different function. There is a big projector at the front. That's your kind of your main view screen, and then you've got one person that's sitting at a weapons console with a joystick to fire at enemies. You've got somebody that's a navigator that has a flight stick. You've got a communication officer, and all these are touch screens. And then the person in the middle is the captain, who has no screen. So the captain is actually barking out orders to engineering to change, where the power's going, to, talking to the communication, who's, getting hails from space stations and stuff. And you're going on a mission, a 30 to 45 minute mission. Or you could be going up in a PvP match against another bridge. He's got a second bridge in the next room over, and you might be fighting them. And, trying to resupply and take them out. So it's a very interesting concept. It's something that works best in person, even though Star Trek Bridge Crew was an online version. It was even in VR but it was the same kind of thing. And you went on these missions, and he's got lights and sound. So like when it's red alert, all the lights in the room turn red. Every time you get hit, you get strobe lights. It's really kind of cool. And it's something that you should try at some point. LTE Bridge works several conventions around the Southeast. They were at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. They're at Dragon Con. They were at Chatticon, which unfortunately I believe is no longer happening, which was up in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I believe they decided that they're not going to be able to continue anymore because of convention center stuff. I don't know all the details. I just saw something that was get like that. Fifth Dream says, I would get the ship blown up in seconds. It would take a little bit longer than that, but also you've got a whole bunch of other people around you, and the scenarios are pretty good. Maybe you would just be the captain and let other people drive, and you just bark orders. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. Thank you, Commodore Lawson, for doing that bumper. You know, 29, I think 2019 is when I did that bumper. And I'll be up there to see them at some point during the week at Dragon Con in 2 weeks, which unfortunately I do not know my schedule, or I do kind of know my schedule, but I can't share it with you until tomorrow, until Monday. And we're taping this on Sunday. Podculture says, cheat like Kirk and reprogram the game. Yes, the Kobayashi Maru scenario. I'm sure that somebody could do that, but you know, you never know. There's open-ended ways to resolving things. You never know. Apparently, it was one of the years, one of the first years he did it. It was actually Richard Garriott and his crew and posse signed up. And he was the captain, and it was apparently like the greatest thing that anybody had ever seen. So it's a lot of fun. I do not think there is actually that style of mission in Artemis. They really do try to, you know, make it a little more straightforward, especially at conventions. Now, Artemis, you can get Artemis yourself, and you can run it yourself. I will say that this is a program you can get, I believe. You can actually even get like all your friends, and there is an app. You download the app on your phone, and that is your touchscreen. And then you just have one computer running the main simulation. Everybody connects to it, so you can run an Artemis thing on your own. You don't need to go to a convention to do it. But you know, they've got the lights and the sound system and the training videos and all that stuff is what you can get at a convention if they run it. Gen Con in Indianapolis also runs some of this type of stuff as well, if you're up there in that area, which I think Gen Con did just happen, I believe. So that was just a couple weeks ago up in Indianapolis. He did want to do like a charity thing, and it's never come to fruition yet. But like a charity thing at Dragon Con where people could donate to charity and like have... be like, okay, you're donating to charity, and the most people, you would get to play Artemis with a celebrity as the captain. And obviously, he wanted William Shatner to come in and be the captain, but also like Nathan Fillion, when Nathan Fillion would be at Dragon Con, have, you know, play Artemis with Nathan Fillion as your captain, and you know, do a mission like that, or with Anson Mount, who is, I believe, Pike on Star Trek Strange New Worlds, who's been at Dragon Con a couple times, have Anson Mount be your captain playing Artemis. It's never worked out, but it's he's tried, but the celebrities are either the celebrities or their agents or something. I don't know where the breakdown is, but that would be a great charity thing. And Podculture says it won't be Garrett Wong. Ensign Kim never gets promoted to the big chair. Garrett Wong, who is actually the director of the Star Trek track at Dragon Con, which is why they can get a whole bunch of Star Trek people. They've got, I think they're doing a big TNG kick this year. But apparently, for you Star Trek nerds out there, Harry Kim is an admiral now, according to that one trailer. To the people that make those 30-minute videos based on like a 30-second trailer, and they zoom in and they look at names and stuff. Apparently, he is Admiral Kim now, so you can't say that anymore. That's canon. That's canon now. Shot out of a cannon. And that's the thing about Dragon Con. Nobody's in the green room. I'm trying to see if people are going to be in the green room. That's the thing about Dragon Con is it is 30 conventions in one. And there's a bunch of Star Trek stuff. There's Star Wars stuff. John Boyega is coming to Dragon Con, which is amazing. That was a late addition. But you've also got, you know, nobody from Doctor Who, I think, is coming this time around. But there's a whole Brit track with British people, you know, British invaders here on Vogue Network. Brian Doob flies in to come, and he's going to be there this year. He's actually even officially in the program this year for the first time. So congratulations to Brian Doob from British Invaders for that, moderating some panels on the Brit track and, you know, working with stuff like that. And there's also reality tracks, like, so, and not reality television, but like science and the space track, where they actually get people that work at NASA or work at, you know, any of the rocket companies. They've actually had real astronauts that have actually been to the International Space Station speak at Dragon Con. There's a track run by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. So if you want to be even more paranoid about your online usage, you could go there. I had a panel once on the EFF track. I was not paranoid enough, and so they haven't ever asked me back, which is fine. They even have like a track just for independent filmmakers. They have a puppetry track that's actually run by the Puppetry Center, the Puppetry Arts Museum here in Atlanta, that is actually financed by the Henson family. So and a bunch of Muppet performers are actually going to be at Dragon Con this year as well. So there's a lot of different things you can do, which is why I tell people, you know, Dragon Con, it's not the same for everybody. Your Dragon Con experience will be different from my Dragon Con experience, and even my Dragon Con experience from year to year has been different. I don't ever have the same Dragon Con twice, because sometimes I'm like, you know what? This time I am going to go to the solar telescope that's out on the tennis courts and go look at the sun, because that's a thing that they do. It's a solar telescope, so it's the safe way to look at the sun, but they have a solar telescope. And then at night, you can try to see some stars, but we're in the middle of downtown Atlanta. There's a lot of light pollution, so you probably aren't going to see anything at night, but you can look at the moon or something. Podculture said, I spent 2023 hitting up the minor panels all week versus main programming. Had a blast. Like I said, there's 30 different conventions in one. And a lot of the panels that go on, like there's one just for digital media. And there's 80 panels, I believe, for digital media content creators, which are either panels about being a content creator or podcasters or streamers that just do their content live. They do their show live at Dragon Con. So there's even all that. A whole animation track where, you know, it's people who do anime and, you know, draw animation and film animation or translate animation and localize it. It's very different from everything else out there, because I've done other things and everything. All the other conventions are unique in some way. It's just Dragon Con's unique is the unique that I've grown up with, which is why I talk about it a whole lot. S. Jordan Matt says, Dragon Con is on my bucket list. The timing never works out for me. Literally, the week it starts every year is the week my job gets busy. That is the thing. It is always Labor Day weekend, and, you know, a lot of other things happen. There's actually less things that happen in Atlanta now than there used to be on that weekend. Other things left, but some other things have stuck around and are that week, because it is a very... It's a very popular weekend. It's a very long weekend for a lot of people. It is, you know, Wednesday is the new Thursday. There are things that happen on Wednesday night at Dragon Con now before it even starts. So, you know, there actually is a countdown, like a New Year's Eve countdown to midnight. And it was packed on Wednesday night to count down to Thursday, 12 a.m. when everybody's like, now Dragon Con starts. Happy New Year. It's a lot of fun. And if you're wondering why I'm talking about, this is what Chad is also talking about, if you're wondering on the podcast, and there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Rob is getting back from a weekend away. He wasn't going to be able to make it back in time. So that's why I'm just sitting here talking and chatting with Chad, and we're talking about Dragon Con. So tomorrow, Monday, from when we're recording this, the schedule will be out. By the time you hear this on the podcast feed, my schedule will have been out. You can check our the conventions channel over in our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, for both where Rob and I will be, or on our Blue Sky feeds. I'm at bobbyblackwolf.com. Rob is at robroberts.bsky.social, and we will post what we are going to be doing. I am very excited for what I'm doing, and I believe Rob is too. I'm sure Rob is too. I know what Rob had on his schedule, and there is some very interesting, neat stuff that we get to do, a lot of great people we get to meet and be professional with, because we're going to be working and it's going to be great. It is a big commitment. It is a big financial commitment. It is a big work commitment. But it is definitely something that I hope everybody would get to experience at some point, because it's my home. Pretty much. It's like, I'm home. I know I get to see people I only see once a year. I get to work with people I only get to work with once a year, even before main programming. I've only been doing main programming stuff for a year. So that's been a very recent development. I've been going to Dragon Con for way longer, and sometimes I just, go sit and play board games. As Sherry Matt says, Rob will be so busy, he'll be too tired to break any high scores in Arcade Black Wolf. We didn't actually go down to my basement at all the last time he was in town. That's how tired we all were. He might actually go down there this time around. Who knows? It hasn't changed. Like, there's nothing new down there. He's seen everything down there. All right. I am going to call it at that point. Thank you so much for being here. That is it for me. I will still be back next Sunday night. I thought about maybe not because of sports ball and the team. And it's one of those, like, I might have been home in time from the match. Because it starts at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and I'm like, I usually get home within 4 hours, but the team sucks right now, so I may not be able to make it. So that is it for me. Unfortunately, no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. They will be back next Sunday night. I will also be back next Sunday night. So if you've sent them an email, I don't know if they got it or not because I don't read their email, but they will most likely get to it next week. So that is it for me. I will be back Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly. And you can follow me on Blue Sky, BobbyBlackWolf.com, or over on our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. You being here is really all we ask for, but any people who go above and beyond and do with bits and subs, thank you so much. It does help keep the lights on, which is really all we're trying to do around here. We got a sub from Fifth Dream and says, if someone subs and the channel isn't live, does it make a sound? Because he actually subbed like 4 days ago or something like that. Thank you so much for that. Also, he cheered 10 bits like midweek. Thank you so much. And then Sean322 cheer resubscribed saying, woo, 33. Thank you so much for the resubscription. And we did just get a cheer right now of 200 bits from SSJ1er Matt. Thank you so much for that. We're going to raid someone. So stick around after the outro because, like I said, there is no Orange Lounge Radio tonight. But we'll raid someone and send the love somewhere. All right. Thanks so much. I will see you next week, and I'll tell you what I'll be doing at Dragon Con next week. See you then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.